you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that walks with us and guides us and leads us to all truth. Thank you that tonight truth would be spoken and revealed. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to Sunday night. I don't know how this works. Are we online? Okay, great. Hello, everyone online. It's nice to see you in that black lens up there. And thank you for joining us. I believe even you online tonight that the Lord has something for you. And that as you hear the word that goes forth, that your heart would change, that you would have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and that you would never be the same again. So, you know, I was praying about what to preach on tonight, and, you know, being fresh out of 2 years of Bible school, you've got plenty of messages on healing and deliverance and prosperity and faith and, you know, gift of faith and miracles, but that's not where the Lord brought me to. Earlier this week, he had me write a sermon, but that's not for tonight, because it was 10 o'clock last night that I got the sermon for tonight. So it was a really good message. I hope you hear it one day. But that's not for tonight. For tonight, we're actually going to talk about walking by the Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit of God and not being led by your flesh. So to start, we're going to go to Romans 8, and we're going to spend most of our time in Romans 8 tonight in some different sections. But think about a time where you were in the middle of two decisions you had to make, whether it be a business decision or a decision on whether or not to fall into sin or a decision on whether or not to do something that the Lord was telling you to do. You can either be led by your flesh in that moment, or you can be led by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Romans 8, verse 6 and 7 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be." That word enmity is hostility. When you are led by your mind, your will, your own personal will, your emotions, you are at enmity with God. You are hostile with God. Just this past week, I had to make a decision. My wife and I had to make a decision. Do I go and get a job and do something that would not fulfill the vision, like Pastor David was talking about this morning, that God gave me for this year? And I had to make a decision. A $55,000 a year job, or stand on the word of the Lord that we would be able to win 10,000 souls this year, and me and my wife personally would be able to sow $100,000 into the kingdom this year. We had to make that decision. Well, the $55,000 a year job isn't going to cut it. So as hard as it was, we made that decision. We're going to stand on the word of the Lord. But the moment we made that decision, peace and joy was flowing. Just like this scripture says. Being spiritually minded, spiritually led, is life and peace. Unfortunately, there are still Christians that are flesh-led and not spirit-led. They're saved. Sure, they're on their way to heaven. But they are led by their flesh and their emotions. You know, even just today on social media, I saw someone from years past that was at a church service at 9 a.m. this morning, and at 11 a.m. on their story, There's a picture of them having margaritas with their friend at the local tavern. And you think, just sitting in church. You were just being led by the Spirit. And now we're going to the bar and drinking with friends. And, you know, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Ultimately, it's His fire that's going to have to change you. It's His fire that's going to fall. It's going to burn out the things of this world. It's going to burn out the flesh desires that you have. I even see from my own life. I was saved, but I was living a life of hell, drinking, doing all the, I mean, drunk every night. Every day I was drunk. I would come home. I'd be throwing up because of how drunk I was. And it was living this life. It was just a show. It was just a show. And I was led by my flesh and led by what felt good and led by what I thought was good for me and what would fill that void. But ultimately, when the Lord sets you free and that fire touches you and that Holy Ghost touches you and changes you, that's when the change happens. That's when you begin to be led by the Spirit. And it's a daily battle to die to your flesh. It's a daily battle to wake up and say, you know what? I'm going to do only what the Lord tells me to do. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Only what the Lord tells me to do. And being willing to die to the soulish realm, your mind, your will and emotions, the thoughts that you have. You know, in Bible school, there was a teacher who told us that thoughts are like birds, right? You can let them fly over your head, and you can let them build a nest and let them stay there. Or you get rid of them. You throw them away. You shoo that bird away, right? So it's a decision you have to make to not let your thoughts take over, not to let your emotions take over, and not to let your fleshly realm of what feels good in that moment take over. And this relates to every area of life. If you're in business, it relates to business. If you're in HVAC, it relates to HVAC. If you're the customers you have dealing with every single day, if you're a pastor, it every single day, it doesn't end. It's a daily die to self decision. Hallelujah. If we go to Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8, let's turn there quickly. We're going to spend a minute here. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Let's just stop there. We're not even going to go any further than that right now. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man and makes flesh his arm. You know, there were times in Bible school when we were believing God for finances and we were believing God to do something for us. And I would start thinking, what can I sell? What can I put on Marketplace? What can I do to make this work? What can I do to make this happen? You don't need to make it happen. When you're led by the Holy Ghost and you do exactly what He tells you to do, the provision will be there every day. Everything you have need of will be there each and every day. You will not lack. Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You're more than the bird. You're more than the lilies of the valley. The provision will be there if you're led by the Spirit of God. If you start making flesh decisions, well, now you're making your arm, you're making flesh your arm, and that's what you're leaning on, rather than leaning on the hand of God. And maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. But blessed, everybody say blessed. Blessed. Say blessed. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. In Deuteronomy it says, I've set before you life and death, blessing or curse. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Cursed is the man who makes flesh his arm, but blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the rivers, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Each and every day, if we are led by the Spirit of God, and that we trust in the Lord, each and every day we'll see fruit in our lives. We will see fruit. It doesn't matter if the drought comes. If your roots are planted in the river, by the river, even when drought comes, the water's flowing. The water's flowing. But the further you get in your flesh, the further you step away from that river. The further your roots are planted from that river. And you stop bearing fruit. Each and every day in our lives, we should be bearing fruit. We'll turn back to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Once again, we're going to stop there for a second. This is big. I was talking to Pastor David today, and he said, he feels, you know, all right, people online, don't make a doctrine out of it. He feels Romans 8 is one of the best chapters in the Bible. You may have your other opinions. I don't really care. Romans 8, it's an opinion. It is a phenomenal chapter on how to live your life. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That brought me to Hebrews 11:6. And I've read Romans 8 and I've read Hebrews 11 countless of times, hundreds of times, but I never made this connection. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, let's go to Hebrews 11. And verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, think about that. If in Romans 8, verse 8 says that those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but then Hebrews 11:6 says faith pleases God, and that he's a rewarder of those that have faith. Being led by the Spirit is a walk of faith. It's a daily decision to walk by faith. It's a daily decision to let go of yourself and be like one of the disciples that says, leave your nets, come and follow me. It's a daily decision. Are you going to please God, or are you going to be at enmity with God? Are you going to be hostile towards God? Are you going to be an enemy of God? Because I see what happens in the Bible when you're an enemy of God. And I ain't having that. So, Romans 8:8. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, Noah walked by faith and pleased God. Noah walked by faith and pleased God. Abraham walked by faith and pleased God. And he lived a life of sacrifice, but that sacrifice always brought blessing. You'll never see in the Bible where somebody's obedient to God and there's not blessing that follows. You'll never see God give a command to do something and they decide to do it and blessing does not follow. Deuteronomy 28, if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, then you'll see these things. But, verse 15, if you don't, in Deuteronomy 28, if you do not listen to the voice of the Lord your God and you rebel against what God has told you to do, the list is a whole lot longer at what's coming. Obedience brings blessing in your life. And obedience is being led by the Spirit of God. It doesn't have to be the big decisions. My wife says to me all the time, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit so much that about going to the grocery store. Should we go right now? No, not to be over spiritual, but But what if you left 20 minutes later and now there's a soul that needs to be won there at the grocery store? So if you are led by the Spirit of God, you will see blessing in your life. His word does not return void. So being led by the flesh is hostile to God. Being spirit-minded and led is life and peace. The Spirit of God brings life and peace. You know, Stephen even was a man full of faith. Stephen pleased God. Enoch pleased God. Stephen was the only person that Jesus stood for as he entered into heaven. And he was full of faith. But guess what? He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't the pastor of that day's church. He wasn't the prophet. He was waiting tables. He was taking care of orphans and widows. And he was full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. Why are those two always connected? Full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. Because you can't be full of the Holy Ghost and lack faith. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, and he has every space in your life taken up, and there's no void for there's no room for the flesh, there will always be faith. There will always be faith. You know, even the Bible says Enoch walked with God and he pleased God. You got to think that that's a spiritually led, a Holy Spirit led person. That's a person that decided, that made a covenant with God. I will be led by the Holy Ghost. I will be led by the Lord in everything that I do. I will walk with God. I will please God. It's a decision you have to make. It's a decision that this very day you can make. If you've been led by your flesh in areas, you can make that decision today. It's not hard. You just lift your hand and say, Lord, I'm going to be led by the Spirit. In fact, everybody, lift your hands right now. Repeat this with me. Say, Father, I thank you. From this day forward, I will be led by the Holy Ghost. I will not give in to the flesh. I will die to the flesh. Amen. Doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good? Amen. I'm happy. Yes, life and peace. When you have peace, you're happy. No peace, you're not happy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8:12. I think. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You don't owe your flesh anything. You owe your flesh nothing. You were put in this flesh to do what God has called you to do. Other than that, you owe your flesh nothing. So when it tells you you need this, or you should be doing that, or you don't want to wake up and you want to sleep in, and you want, no. You're led by the Spirit of God. You owe your flesh absolutely nothing. Just make that real to yourself. Meditate on that for a second. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Not if you live according to the flesh sometimes, you might make it through. No, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Did you know at this time slaves were never allowed to say Abba? They weren't allowed to say Abba, Father. They would have been very much so persecuted, potentially even put to death for saying Abba. For saying Daddy, Daddy God. Think about what we have the ability to do when we are led by the Holy Ghost, when we are Spirit-led, we are sons of God. We have the ability to say, Abba, Father. That's a personal relationship. So it needs to be personal to you. And it'll be personal through you. When this book and what it says becomes real to you, people will know. People will know if it's real to you. People will know if what you are trying to give them on the street or what you're trying to preach a message to them. You know, we go out soul winning on the street. If you go up to someone and you, has anybody ever told you that God loves you and has a great plan for your life? What is that? That does not make the person want to come to Jesus. You look more depressed than they do. It's a decision. Get out of the flesh and walk by the Spirit of God. And when you walk up to that person, God has a plan for your life. Do you know? Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Do you know what he did for you? Do you know how good he is to you? And it's a decision, and people will see how real it is to you. But if you're dealing with the fleshly realm and you're led by your flesh 50% of the time, guess what? It's not going to be real. It's not going to be real. You know, and when... the scripture. When you think about what you have the ability to obtain when you're led by the Spirit of God and what you have the ability to do as a son of God. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So it's not one or the other. It's not freely given all things or Jesus. It's not, oh, well, when you die to your flesh, well, now, you know, you got to live this poverty life, just barely making it by, just barely getting through. No. When you make that decision, I am a son of God. I will be led by the Spirit of God in everything I do on a daily basis. You can say, you know what? That's a promise for me. That's a promise for me. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am a son of God. So not only do I get Jesus, and that alone, hear me, that alone is worth it. Salvation and knowing I'm going to heaven is worth it. If that's all that I got in this life, I'm happy. But that's not what the Bible says. See, if that's all you get in life, and if that's all you decide that you're going to have in life, guess what? Well, then that's all you will get. If you decide that salvation's good enough for me, well, more power to you. I'll take what the Lord was going to give to you. Because it says that he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Other translations say, how shall he not richly give us all things? So you're missing out on all that God has for you when you're led by the flesh. This promise is for those that are the sons and daughters of God. This promise is for those who are led by the Spirit of God. This promise is for any believer who decides, I will grab a hold of this, and I'll walk with this, and I'm going to walk by faith, and every step I take will be by faith, and every place I go, I'm going to do things by faith. Let's go to Galatians 5. We'll start in verse 16. If you ever need to know where Galatians is, for some reason I think about Geico, but instead I say Gecko. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Corinthians. Anyway, well, Corinthians is before that. Colossians. So Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So anytime you read something in the Word, there will always be something to back it up. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let something be established. So when you read something in the Word, so we're talking about dying to your flesh, not living a carnal life, dying to that carnal realm. Well, Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. By trying to do things in your flesh, you're actually trying to do things under the old covenant that we were in with God. Because all they could do with the Ten Commandments and with the commands God had given them was try to do it all in their flesh. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them like we do today. We have the Holy Ghost in us today. So when we try to do things on our own, when we try to follow this law or try to do everything by our own power, you are actually making null and void of what Jesus has done on the cross for you. Because Him going to the cross and sending the Holy Spirit has given you the power and the ability to walk with the Spirit of God each and every day and to be led by the Spirit of God each and every day. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you are living a life in a fleshly realm and you're living these things out, you're living these lusts of the flesh out, the Bible says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are letters written to the church, Christians. This is telling you, walk a pure life. Live a life led by the Spirit of God. I know people don't like hearing this, but it is what it is. I mean, it's the Word, and it has the power to change. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. When you are led by the Spirit of God, you'll see peace in your life. You'll see joy in your life. You'll be patient with people. The goodness of God will be evident in your life to other people. You'll be a faithful person. You'll be a faithful servant to serve in church. You'll be a faithful person to show up on time to your ministry of helps, to do all the things God has told you to do. You might not be called to the fivefold ministry, but if you're called to business, you'll be faithful to that which God puts in your hand. If you're called to serve, you'll be faithful to that area you're serving in. But it has to be real to you. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. And those, verse 24, who are Christ's, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When you make a decision, I'm going to crucify my flesh with my passions and desires. I'm going to crucify this. I'm going to do only that which God wants me to do. You know, you think, well, I'm going to lose out on all the things that I want in life. Well, no, because the Bible says in Psalm 37 that He gives you the desires of your heart. Right? So you're actually not losing out. And you might lose out on the things that you think you wanted, but that's not actually what the Lord knew you wanted. And He'll give you something better. You think you wanted, you know, that Mustang. But instead, it's the F-250 King Ranch diesel with whatever else options there are, you know? Platinum, that's right. Amen. Well, So when you are led by the Spirit of God, there's so much blessing in life that follows. There's so much blessing in life that follows. And I would challenge you to check your heart and check your life each and every day. What are you doing? Are you being led by the flesh? Are you being led by the Spirit of God? You know, we had our testimony this morning of somebody that is leaving their job because they feel called to a certain area with kids and doing things with kids. Well, she could have decided, you know what? I really, really, really want to do that. I really, really, really feel called to that. But I can't afford to lose it. But what God actually says is, because you're led by the Spirit and because you are being Spirit-led and walking by faith, there's going to be blessing that follows. And that job that paid $42,000 a year, or whatever the number was, the Lord will double that, and things will, doors will open, And things will start happening that how is this happening? I don't understand. If every single one of us here in this church tonight begin to be led by the Spirit of God, we will see blessing in our own lives. We'll see blessing in our homes, in our marriages. We'll see blessing and growth in this church. Because you won't pass the person by that's sitting there and the Holy Ghost tells you, you need to witness to that person. You need to witness to that person. You need to witness to that person, and you don't do it. But if you would have witnessed to that person, and if you would have told them about the goodness of God, you know, the Bible says the goodness of God leads to repentance. It's not this, you're on a highway to hell message that you get, you know, at the church down, you know, wherever. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And it all stems by being led by the Spirit. It comes back to the basics. It comes back to the basics of not being led by the fleshly realm. There was a girl that I saw one in Tampa, Florida, when I was there for Bible school. And, you know, it was one of those people I actually didn't, in the natural, I did not want to walk up to. And, you know, she was there with her boyfriend. They looked like they were arguing, and it was just like awkward situation, right? But they stopped arguing. The boyfriend went inside. She's outside. And I soul win her. And I said, hey, has anybody ever told you that God loves you and has a great plan for your life? And she broke down. Tears started flowing. She started telling about how she's been depressed and was considering suicide and doing drugs and drinking to make this pain go away. But I stepped, even when I didn't want to, even when I did not want to. 95 degrees in Tampa, Florida with 100% humidity. I didn't want to be walking around out there. But this encounter changed her life forever. Because by the time we're done praying with her, we got her baptized in the Holy Ghost, and she was speaking in tongues, and not, you know, there's sometimes you see when people are baptized in the Holy Ghost, they'll be like, okay, well, start by, you know, say this, and they'll kind of like help the person along. It wasn't one of those encounters. It was, repeat this after me. You say that Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire, so baptize me now. And at that moment, she was baptized in the Holy Ghost. The fire of God fell on her, and she was speaking in tongues. I didn't have to teach her anything. I didn't have to show her what happened in Acts 14 scriptures to prove to her that tongues is for today. No, it just happened, and it flowed. And at the end of that encounter, she's, oh my gosh, I've never felt this free. I feel light. I feel light as a feather. I haven't felt this way in years. And that's what's going to set people free. Being led by the Spirit of God is what's going to set people free. It'll set you free in your own life. It'll set you free. You know, I don't want to come off like this hyper law message, like you have to do this, or this hyper grace message. But when you are under grace, when you know what God has done for you, this will be easy. And each and every day, it'll be easier. And even though your flesh is not happy with it, you'll say, oh, I know, I'm in the peace of God. I'm at the right hand of God right now. His word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. I am walking out exactly what his will is for me. It's getting rid of your will and walking in his will. It's getting rid of your will and saying, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what's his will in heaven? Prosperity. People when they die here on earth, they're saved, they go there. It's blessing, streets of gold. You've got a mansion for you. So when you start walking in the will of God and the plans and purposes of God in your life, it doesn't matter what your family's done. You can be in a generation of farmers that have been poor their whole lives and has $2 million in debt on tractors, but you know what? That's not your story. That's not your story. That's not you. You don't have to work for this. You don't have to work for the blessing of God. You don't have to work for these things. You know, God has a plan for each and every one of our lives here. And God, from the beginning, has set out a plan for our lives at what it's going to look like. And he had a plan set from the beginning, but he allows you to choose. Am I going to follow in the plan and the purpose that he has decided for me? Or am I going to walk in my own ways? Because it is a decision. God wouldn't be just if he forced you to walk in his ways. God wouldn't be just if he forced you to do what he wants you to do. It's a decision. You have to say, God, I'm yours. I'm a vessel. I'm a vessel fit for honor for the master's use. You have to decide, I'm a vessel fit for honor. I'm a pure vessel. No defilement in my life. I'm a pure vessel fit for the master's use. You know, just a little bit of defilement, just a little bit of these things will cause you to walk by the flesh. If you've got a nice big chocolate cake out in front of you, but there's just a little bit of dog poop in there, it's gross. It's defiled. It's defiled. You might not see it on the outside. And I could go over to Pastor David's house and eat that chocolate cake, and I wouldn't see it. I wouldn't even know it was there. But it's there. And the Lord knows that it's there. And the Lord sees it. So you have to decide to get the dog poop out of your life. Let's put it in simple terms. You know, so you have to decide that I am going to live a life fit for the master's use. And if you're not living that life fit for the master's use, guess what? You're here. You're watching online. You have the ability to say, Lord, I submit my life to you. I give my life to you. Your plans and purposes, not mine. Not mine. This is not my will, but your will be done. And this is all about, it comes down to submitting to God. And that's where people have a problem. They can't submit to God. They can't submit to what God has for them. They can't submit to this book right here, which really, when you start submitting to this book and start submitting to what the Holy Ghost tells you to do, you'll live a life of freedom. You'll live a life of freedom. Because, you know what? I used to identify. I was telling my wife this the other day. When I was 13, my brother died. Some of you might not even know that in here. But for years and years and years, when I was drinking, when I was doing all the things by the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh, anytime I met somebody, yeah, my name's Caleb. Oh, yeah, my brother died when I was 13. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I'd go into this story, this negative story about what I went through in life. But when the Lord sets you free, it does not matter what you went through in your past. It doesn't matter what you did before. It doesn't matter who you were before Jesus. Because once Jesus became real to me and the fire of the Holy Ghost burned these things out of me, my identity has changed. My identity has changed. This is like a 6-part message. It's not just about walking by the Spirit. It's about your identity in Christ. It's about submitting to God. It's about making your will His will. And deciding every day that His will is what I'm pursuing. You have to make a decision. It is a decision. I will say that probably 10 more times during this message. It is a decision to say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. There will not be a single part of me that is led by the flesh. And you know what? What's great about the grace of God is if you're walking good, you know, 3 days from now, you're walking by the Spirit of God. You're not walking by the flesh. And all of a sudden, you trip up. You trip up. You're led by your flesh in an area. Well, great. That's when you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I committed my life to you to be a vessel fit for you. And I'm sorry. Forgive me and stop looking back at it. Stop going back. I love the analogy Pastor David did last week. He was holding his Bible, and that's like a sin or a weight you've had and that you've carried. And he said, you know, when you're walking, you can either carry that thing with you or you can set it down on the chair. If I'm walking, Joe, you're Jesus. You're what Jesus did on the cross for me, right? So if I'm walking, I'm holding on to this sin. I'm holding on to this weight. I'm holding on to this thing. But if I say, you know what, that's not mine anymore. That's already been paid for. That's already been covered. That's already been paid for by the blood of Jesus, and I can walk on forward. And it doesn't matter. The next day, the devil will try to convince you that, oh, you're not good enough. You haven't done enough, you know. But it's not about doing enough. It's not about the flesh. It is about only doing what God tells you to do. And it's a decision. Again, a decision. And for some, it's not an easy decision. You have to lay some things down. You might have to lay certain areas of your life down for a little while. I can tell you, we've been, for the most part, off social media, and it's been freeing. Because that was a fleshly thing that I would do. That was something that I would do to fulfill time, a void in time. Oh, well, I don't have anything to do right now, so I'll just scroll. But do you realize what you're pouring into your life is what you're going to get out of your life? What you're pouring in is what you're going to get out. If I'm reading negativity, and if I'm reading all the stories in the world about kidnappings and what's going on in this country and what's going on with this country, that's what I'm gonna be led by my flesh and my emotions and what I'm seeing. But we don't walk by what we see. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. So you have to make a decision. I'm going to walk by faith today. Today is my day that I decide I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to walk by the Word of God. You know, Hebrews 4:12. Let's turn there. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm not going to get into a big message about you're a three-part being, but I'm going to touch on it because you're a three-part being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You are a spirit being. You are created in the image of God. And you have a soul, your mind, will, and emotions. But the Bible says here in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God divides the soul and the spirit. The Word of God will show you what's of God and what's of your flesh. And you don't owe anything to your flesh because this is simply a body that we live in to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ and to do what God has told us to do, and only that. I need to find a scripture that just came to mind. Hebrews 10:26. Thank God for iPhones. They can be good sometimes. This passage, this area is titled "The Just Live by Faith." The just live by the Spirit of God. Because when you live by the Spirit of God, you're living by faith. For if we sin willfully after we have received knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. You know, this is if you meditate on that scripture for a moment, if you sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of sins. If you continue to live a life by your will, and by submitting to your own flesh and submitting to the sin in your life. And sin doesn't have to be these crazy things like murdering somebody. Or, you know, a sin for me personally was spending too much time on social media because it was taking me away from the plan that God has for me. A sin for me was that. And if God reveals something to you, if God says, hey, you need to stop doing this. You're walking by your flesh. You need to stop doing this. And it's revealed by the Word or by conviction of the Holy Ghost, because that's what He's there for. You need to make the change. Stop going back to it. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. This is not an Old Testament scripture. This is a New Testament, New Covenant scripture. That if we continue in this life that Jesus paid for us to step out of, there's no longer a sacrifice for those sins. That's serious. That should be real to you. That should be something that you wake up and say, man, I got to live a different life. I got to live a life full of faith, the Holy Ghost, and power. I got to do what Jesus told me to do. I got to be anointed to preach the gospel. You don't have to be a pastor to preach the gospel. I got to be anointed to heal the sick. I got to be anointed to lay hands on people and cast out devils. I'm anointed. I'm anointed to do that which Jesus has done. Acts 10:38, Luke 4, Isaiah 61. You're anointed to do the works of Jesus. Mark 16:15 says you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Not you'll lay hands on the sick and they might recover. You'll cast out devils. The Bible says freely you've received, freely give. So live a life of giving what God has put on the inside of you. It's not about going to Bible school. It's not about you have to spend so many years in the Word. You have to do so many years of Bible school. You have to do so many years of this, and then you're anointed. No, the anointing's voice activated. My 2-year-old daughter is just as anointed as I am. She could lay hands on me and say, in the name of Jesus, and I can be healed. It's voice activated. You decide whether you're going to walk in that anointing. You decide whether you're going to die to your flesh or you're going to say, you know what, God? Use me. Use me. Anoint me. Anoint my tongue. Anoint my hands. Anoint my feet. That everywhere I go, you give me somebody to witness to. That everywhere I go, you give that ground unto me. That everywhere I go, there's somebody that can be healed or set free by the power of God. Because the harvest is ripe, the Bible says. The harvest is ripe, and it's time for a harvest of souls. It's time for a harvest of people being set free from the bondage they've been in. I don't care what people say about the Eastern Shore. Well, it's been like this for years. You know, there's just religion, there's tradition. People are just, you know, you can't have revival on the Eastern Shore. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You get your heart right. You repent to God and say, I'm yours, and revival comes. Revival starts in you. Revival starts in you, in your heart. You make a decision. You have to be, you can't revive somebody unless you're revived. You cannot lay hands on the sick. I guarantee you, if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost and full of the power of God, if you go to lay hands on somebody and try to raise the dead, but you're not walking a Spirit-led life, there's going to be no anointing. You need to decide that this is my life from here on out. I don't care what people say about me. I'm nuts. I've jumped on buses and you know, I don't care. I don't care what people say about me. There's people that mock me for what I'm doing. There's people from the old life that I used to live. And they're, oh man. Well, they don't really do this anymore because they just know I'm too far gone at this point. But when I was first, when I was first set free by the Lord, they, man, you're crazy. You don't have to be like that. You don't have to be like that. Well, what do you want me to be? Like you? Because that's what I was, you know? And it's, you have to decide that the only thing you're going to live in life is this, right here. I'm going to live the Word. If Jesus says I can have it, I can have it. If Jesus says I can do it, I'm going to do it. You know, John G. Lake, punting babies to, you know, there's a dead baby, John G. Lake. Now, you better know you're anointed to do this before you do it. There's a dead baby. And the story goes that he took the baby and he felt the Lord tell him to kick the baby. I mean, who's going to do that? You kick my kid, it ain't going to be good for you. But that child was brought back to life and he did what the Lord told him to do. The pastor down at my Bible school that does the healing school, he was doing healing school one day. It was the anointing service. He's laying hands on people. And he walks by after he lays hands on somebody, and he says he felt the Lord tell him to lick the person's eye. Right? It sounds crazy, and this is radical stuff. So, but I'm just telling you that the Lord might tell you to do something radical one day, and you need to be okay with it. But this person had an infection in their eye, and they had an issue with their eye that was actually causing them to be blind in that eye. Jesus spit in people's eyes, you know? So he felt the Lord tell him, lick the person's eye. And I'll tell you, as he licked the person's eye, their eye was opened, and that blind eye was opened, and they saw. That blindness left them. That infection left their body. That's radical. I'm not telling you to go lick your neighbor's eye. Please hear me. I'm just telling you to be led by the Spirit of God. And when He tells you to do something radical, when He tells you, go to Bible school, quit your job and you know, believe me for the income. Quit your job and start ministering to children in other ways than being a teacher. Quit your job or don't go back to a job so that you can get 10,000 souls. That's crazy to me. That was in January He spoke that to me. January. You know, that was a night where, there's been a few of these times, but that was a night where we had decided we're going to lay down our all and give it to the Lord. And that was a night where for the first time ever, I heard a cry of souls for this area, for this Delmarva region, for the people that need Jesus. For the first time ever, I heard that cry. And I'd always heard people talk about it. What's the cry of souls? But I finally knew what it was. And as a sacrifice, we had $10. And we said, you know what? We're going to lay it all down. And we sowed that $10. And that was the same night we heard that cry. And the same night that obedience brings blessing in your life, that was the same night that also we had a cash app from some. We didn't tell anybody. We were up in the balconies at the church, and we sowed it, and nobody knew a thing. And we ended up getting a $1,000 cash app about 10 minutes later. And what that shows is that when you're led by the Spirit of God, the Lord will use another vessel to get something to you. If you can let Him get it to you, He'll get it through you. And that's not just your finances, but it should be. That's not just materialistic things. If the Lord can get revelation into you, if the Lord can get the Word of God into you, He'll get it through you. But here's the deal. He can't keep filling your cup if you're not spilling that cup out on people, if you're not pouring that cup out on people. If you are not giving out what you've been given, you'll get stagnant. You'll get to a point where there's no more filling up. Your cup will be full, and it's all yours. But what the Lord really wants to do is give you an overflowing cup. He wants to give you, as you pour out what's been given to you, He wants to overflow and overflow and overflow. So when you're led by the Spirit of God, you'll see overflow in your life. When you're led by the Spirit of God, you know, it doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. It doesn't matter what things look like in the natural. You could say, none of this makes sense. But you know, on the inside, in your spirit, that I'm doing what God's called me to do. And I'm doing exactly what the Lord has called me to do. And I am doing only that which He tells me to do. And I'm not living a life of half in my flesh, half in my spirit. Half in my flesh, half in my spirit. You know, if you're 99% spirit-led, but you have that 1% of your life that's not spirit-led, you need to give it up. You need to give it up. You need to make a decision that's not going to have a hold on you anymore. Because that's what it is. It has a hold on you. You know, people use things to fill a void in their life. For me, I use drinking. I use drinking to fill a void in my life. I use drinking to say, you know, whatever I wasn't being fulfilled by, which was the Holy Ghost, which I needed to be fulfilled by, and I used drinking, and it would fill a void. And as I would drink, it would fill a place in my life that was empty and that needed to be filled by God. And then once I allowed God to fill that place in my life, everything changed. Everything changed. It was one night. It wasn't even a Holy Ghost filled church, but the Word of God is powerful. Is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And when they preached the word that night, and the word went forth, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, that hit me. And that changed my life. And that changed my life. And next thing you know, I'm in a pastor's basement talking to him about who I was. And he's telling me, that's not who I am. And the Lord has plans for your life. And the Lord has great things for you. And it's changed me. I sat in this man of God's basement, half drunk, from the bar down the road. But I show up at his house, half drunk. So when Pastor Lacey said the other day she's had a drunk person show up at her house, I said, no, you've had two drunk people show up at your house. Because, and these moments are what sets you free. And tonight is a moment that you can be set free. And tonight is a moment to consecrate your life and say, God, I'm not going to be led by the flesh. I'm up here with it. I'm up here with it. The areas that just this past week about get a job, don't get a job. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? You know what? Fighting it to the point where I was almost ready to take it. And he said if I came to the interview, it was very likely that I was going to get the job. Right? And that's before I'd even stepped foot on the property. And yeah, you know what? I probably would have done well there. And I probably would have maybe seen some bonuses or something like that. But that's not what God has for me. And that's not going to fulfill the vision that God put into me earlier this year. And the more I look at what we've sown and how many souls we've won, I'm like, well, Lord, it's time for a quick work. But we're in a time of a quick work. The days are short. The hour is coming when that eastern sky is going to break open. And we're going to see Jesus. And we're going to see His return. And the dead in Christ will rise. And then we, in the twinkling of an eye, will go home to be with Jesus. And you need to decide today if on that day, when that happens, have I done everything the Lord told me to do? Was there any areas of my life that were not led by the Spirit of God? And I encourage you that if you're in this place tonight, or even watching online, and you say, you know what, there's areas of my life that have not been led by the Spirit of God. There's areas in my life that have been led by the flesh. There's areas, you know, if he wouldn't have decided to let me in his house that night, if he would have said, I'm tired. It's like 9 o'clock. I don't have time for this. Where would that have put me today? I don't know. Would I have still been doing the life that I was before? Very likely. Very likely. Because that night had an impact on my life. And there was somebody at 11:30 at night praying for me. And keeping in touch with me. And saying, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. You're better than this. And I'm here to be that person for you tonight. God loves you. You're better than this. He's got a plan for you. Stop living by the flesh. Live by the Spirit of God. See the blessing in your life. See the increase in your life. So if you're watching online, or even if you're here in this place tonight, I want you to know that God wants every area of your life. And that God wants you to just surrender to Him and submit to Him. Submission is not a weird thing. The world makes the term submission to be some perverted word that the world will use. But submission to God actually brings freedom in your life. And submission to leadership in your life actually brings freedom. Because you're not held to this law of these standards you have to follow. But you are one with God. You're in covenant with God. And God will never break His covenant with His people. He will never break His covenant with His people. So when I say submit to God, don't let this word that the world is perverted. Everything that God makes good, the devil makes perverted in this world. A rainbow. He's perverted. The devil has perverted the rainbow. There are things that you need to decide in your life that I'm not going to let the devil pervert this area of my life anymore. And I am not going to be defiled, but I'm going to be a vessel fit for honor for the Master's use. If there's an area of your life where you feel, you know what? I haven't been fit for honor. I have not surrendered this whole area of my life to the Lord. You can do that today. You watching online. You might be watching right now and saying, you know, I've been stuck in this place. I've been stuck in this place where it's the same thing over and over and over again. But God wants to set you free from that. He wants to set you free. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to do two different calls. There's going to be one call for those that have not been led by the Spirit of God. For those that have accepted Jesus, professed Jesus, but you have not given Him every area of your life. You haven't surrendered every area of your life. You've been holding back. There's this void. And you know you feel it because you fill it with other things. You fill it by what you watch on your phone or on a computer or the movies that you watch. Or you fill it by smoking or drinking Or you fill it by working in excess, because work keeps your mind off of things. So if you're in this place, and I believe there's going to be somebody watching online that's going to be touched by this tonight, I want you to come up here. I want you to, by faith, come up here and be willing to surrender your all to the Lord tonight. If you were 99% surrendered, but you're not 100% surrendered, I want you to come up here. If there's any area in your life, I'm not saying you're backslidden, living in sin. Please hear me. This is not an altar call saying that you're backslidden, living in sin. So don't worry about what people next to you are going to think when you come up here. It could be one little area in your life. I want you to come up here. Watching online, if that's you, I want you to stand up. Unless you're driving, please don't. If you're in your living room, if you're watching on your phone, if you're watching in your bedroom, I want you to stand up as a sign, as a step of faith to show the Lord what you are willing to do with your life. And if there's anybody that has not accepted Jesus into their heart, if they've lived a life of maybe you've been a drinker like me, maybe you've been, you know, affected by hurts in your life and people dying, and you were in a place, but you feel that. You feel you need to surrender your life tonight. If you're watching online or you're here tonight, I want you to come forward. And I believe there's somebody online that's going to be touched by this. I believe there's somebody online that you've been wondering, what plan is even there for your life? That you've been wondering, why am I here? That you've been, I mean, the same thoughts I had. Why am I here? What's the point? To the point of depression and anxiety. What's the point? Why am I here? I'll tell you that God has a plan for your life. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, a hope and a future. And when you surrender your life to God, I promise you, these feelings that you have right now are going to go. Because the Holy Ghost can't enter into a vessel and not set it free. If you're here tonight, and there's a part of your life that you have not given over to, I feel that there's several here, not just online, that need to surrender an area of your life. Where you need to say, Lord, use me. I haven't given my all to you. Every head bowed. Nobody looking around. The Lord's going to set you free tonight if you're willing to stand up as a profession of faith and say, God, use me. God, set me free. God, I want to be your vessel. I want to be fit for the Master's use. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. I want to be used by you. I want every area of my life to be submitted to you. There's somebody else. And I'm going to give you time to get up here, because this is a night of consecration. This is a night to say, I'm yours. I give my all to you. This isn't a call to Bible school. This isn't a call to the fivefold ministry. This is a call to be a vessel for God. This is a call for you to say, I'm yours. And I'm coming back to you. You're the prodigal son. While every head is bowed and every eye still closed. I'm going to ask everybody in here to lift your hands and repeat this after me. And if you're watching online and that one person was you, lift your hands. God has something for you tonight. We're going to consecrate ourselves right now. Everybody repeat after me. Say, Father, thank you. You've given me your word. You've given me your spirit to set me free in every area of my life. I decide today I will be a vessel fit for the Master's use. And from this day forward, I will do everything that you tell me to do. And I will do nothing by my flesh. Just stay in this place. Kelly, if you could play the last song again. And if we need to repeat it a couple times, we can. But I genuinely believe there's somebody else in here that your whole life, and this isn't, I'm not trying to get people up here. This is, I saw it before I was even here tonight. I saw two people up here tonight because you've not given your whole self to the Lord and you've not allowed him to take over every area of your life. So while this song plays, just keep your head bowed. Keep your eyes closed. Just meditate